Welcome to Front Range. My name is Ernest Smith. I'm the lead pastor, and we're so grateful that you are here. Hey, if this is your first time, I especially want to say thank you for joining us on a weekend that we're all online. Our hope and prayer is that this will become a home for you, a place where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. Hey, I want to let you know that we are all online, and the reason is because a couple of our staff members have tested positive for COVID. Now, I want to let you know that our hope and prayer is that we'll do everything we can as a church to protect you, to love you well, to love our community well. And so that's why we're all online for this weekend. And I just want to say thank you, church, for the way that you have reached out, for the prayers, for calling, for texting, for Facebook messaging, for asking how everyone is doing. And I want to let you know a couple things. One, those who have tested positive, they're all doing pretty well. So thank you for praying for them. Pray for their healing. Pray for their protection. Pray that God would just continue to show up in their lives. And two, I tested negative. By the grace of God, I tested negative, but I am having to quarantine for 2 weeks. So being an extrovert, man, this is tough for me. In fact, when the doctor told me, hey, Ernest, you need to quarantine for 2 weeks, the first thought that I had was, man, I don't know if I got enough sweet tea to make it. That just shows my addiction to sweet tea now, but I'm doing good. My family's doing good. But be praying for our church. Be praying for those who have it right now, and pray for protection over the rest of us as well. And just thank you, church, for how you respond to all things. Hey, I want to let you know, on October 25th, we're going to be starting a new series called At the Movies. It's one of my absolute favorites. And that same day, on October 25th, we're going to go to three services. So we're going to have a service at 8:30, 10 o'clock, and then 11:30. We're doing that because if you've been attending since we've been back in person, man, we're doing everything possible to throw out precaution and against COVID and to protect you and all of that. One of the things that we're doing is making sure that everybody is sitting socially distanced. So because of that, we don't have as much room as we would like, and we have a lot more people coming and new people coming and people accepting Christ and all of that. I mean, it's incredible, but we just want to make sure that we can add more room for people. So we're going to add a third service. And if you call Front Range your home, do me a favor, don't come to the 10 o'clock unless you're inviting your neighbors or a coworker. Then you can come then. But if not, choose either the 8:30 or the 11:30, because we know the 10 is going to be packed. And so, man, we're just excited about what God is doing. Hey, today we're starting a new series. And when we thought about this series about a year ago, we thought, man, what's going to be happening in our culture? I mean, obviously we didn't know COVID was going to be happening. And we thought, man, what do we want to talk about? Like, what would be relevant? And so we said, well, why not an easy series? You know, it's maybe something like politics, right? We know that's not easy. Now, a buddy of mine said, Ernest, why are you talking about politics when you know the two things you're not supposed to talk about in public are what? Religion and politics. Now, I can't avoid the first one, and I feel like there are certain moments where God calls you to step into and to speak into certain moments of history, and I think this is one of those for our church, that we're called to speak into this moment, speak about what is happening in our culture. And so here's the deal. We may not agree on some things we're going to talk about, but may we be united in love. May we be united as one. And let's show the world that we can disagree and still have conversation and still love people really well. And what I promise you, you're going to see throughout this series, you're going to see our love for God and our love for people. Hopefully you've seen that since day one of our church, but you're definitely going to see that in this series as well, and our love for God and our love for people. So let's just jump straight in. We're going to have a good old-fashioned Bible study. If you got your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, man, download the Bible app. Go ahead and do it. I'm going to give you some history about the verse we're going to talk about so you got some time. Download the Bible app. It's a great resource. 2 Corinthians is a letter written by a guy named Paul. Paul, what he would do is he would go into these towns and he would share the gospel. He would tell people about Jesus. As people came to faith in Christ, he would start a church. And then he would go to a new town and start a new church. And so as he did this, to stay connected to the other churches, the ones that he had planted, that he had started, he would send these letters. And he sent a bunch of letters to the church in Corinth. He loved this church. It was a messy church. I mean, if you've been in church very long, you know that all churches have a little bit of mess because all churches have people, and people are messy. All of us. If you think you're going to find a perfect church where everybody gets along, it's not going to happen because people are messy. And so churches are messy. Well, the church in Corinth was especially messy. So up until this point in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul has addressed the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Father. And then he gets into this section that we're about to study where he's talking about how you and I have purpose in life. And we're called for such a time as this. So, well, what are we called to do? I mean, if you want to have purpose in life, you want to make a difference in life and in our culture, well, what difference is that? What has God called you to do? Well, Paul answers that right here. Let's start with verse 14. He sets it up. He says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." He's saying it's Christ's love that should compel us. Christ's love that died for us on the cross. Christ's love that saw that we were separated from God, that our sin separated us from God. If you've ever felt like you've been distant from God, that's because of sin. We all have it, and we've all felt it. Well, Christ loved you and I so much, he didn't want that separation to be there anymore. So he died so that we can be reunited to God. We can be reconciled to God. Christ's love should be what compels us. Not our political platform, not our political party, not our wanting our rights. Sure, get out there, be involved, vote, fight for your rights. All like get involved in a community, you know, get involved in doing something in the community and all of that. But he says none of that should be what compels us in life. What should compel us in life is Christ's love. Paul's setting up what he's about to say, what he's about to say in regards to our purpose in life. Look at verse 15. He says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." He said Christ died for all of us. And if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you would say, "Man, I'm a follower of Jesus," he says, then you no longer live for yourself, but rather for him who died for you. You don't live for you anymore, Ernest. Now, that's not easy for me to hear. I don't want to hear that I don't live for myself. I want to live for myself, right? Like, I've got my own thoughts and my own beliefs, and I want to go after what I want to go after. But here Paul's saying, but you don't live for yourself anymore. You actually live for the one who died for you. Now, this is tough. I mean, over the last few months, I've had a lot of people try to get me to take a side. Ernest, where do you stand with this issue? Or Ernest, what do you think about this issue? And if you've asked me those questions, you know my answer, man, I've tried to stay very neutral, not because I don't have beliefs, not because I don't feel very strongly in my beliefs, because I do. And I hope that my beliefs are biblical, can be backed by God's word. But ultimately, what I know is I don't live for me. I live for Christ. I no longer live for me. I live for the one who died for me. And it is his love that should compel me. Then Paul goes into this final section. He says, here's what the goal of being a follower of Jesus is. If before you became a follower of Christ, if your goal was like to be a good person or to make a lot of money or to have a good family or whatever it may be, whatever your goal was, that's now scratched. That's now changed. When you become a follower of Jesus, there's a new goal. So what is it? Take a look. Verse 16 says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul says the goal for all of us, if we're followers of Jesus, is this ministry of reconciliation. But what does that mean? Well, the ministry of reconciliation is us declaring the message. No matter how broken you are, no matter your sins, no matter your past, no matter your mistakes, no matter what you've done in life, that God loves you and God died for you so that you could have a right relationship with him. And Paul says that this is our message. This is our ministry. This is what we're called to do. Paul's not saying, hey, you're called to moments of reconciliation. No, he's saying you're called to a ministry of reconciliation, meaning it's your entire life. Like that everything that you do in life, no matter what you do, whether you're a stay-at-home parent or maybe you're a business person or maybe you're a retired grandparent or maybe you're a child or kid in school or whatever you think you're like waiting for next, God says, you're not waiting for something next. I've actually called you to something now. What I've called you to is a ministry of reconciliation. What I've called you to is sharing my heart for people. And you do that by forgiving someone who's wronged you. You live out this ministry of reconciliation when you walk with somebody who feels stuck, who feels in a place maybe of pain or of isolation or of regret or whatever it may be. And as you walk with them, it's never giving up on somebody. It's choosing to always believe the best and pray for people. It means sharing the truth about God to others, about God's grace and His love and His justice. It's about sharing that to other people. We actually get to partner with God in restoring the world and reconciling the world to Himself and bringing people back into a right relationship with God. We get to do this. This is our purpose. This is the goal of our lives. And I love Paul's final thoughts in this passage. He writes this. Look at the last part, verse 19 and 20. He says this, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Paul says our purpose, the goal of us as followers of Christ, is this message of reconciliation. He said that's our ministry. That's what we're called to do, this message that God wants a relationship with humanity. He doesn't say that we're called to a message of division or a message of a political party or the message of, you know, a platform. He says we're called to the message of what? A message of reconciliation. He says that you and I are Christ's ambassadors. And I did an entire message back on what it means to be an ambassador back in July. And so if you missed that, man, go back and watch it. I think it was a powerful truth for us and what we were struggling with. But what I love is the illustration that Paul gives us here, what it means to be an ambassador. See, there's kind of two things about what it meant to be an ambassador back then. When you had that type of position back then, there were two things that really relate to us. First, an ambassador back then in Paul's day was sent from one kingdom to another kingdom, and the role was designed to strengthen the relationship, to strengthen the bond between the one kingdom to the next. And this is what God's attempting to do with us, that we as ambassadors of Christ, that we're from God's kingdom, the kingdom of light, and we're sent to the kingdom of darkness so that there might be some who are still part of the kingdom of darkness that are told, hey, God loves you. Hey, there's a better way. Hey, there's a God of light. There's a God who is inviting you into His family. That we get to be those ambassadors. We get to tell that story. We get to give that message. And it's not just a moment, right? It's every day that we get to live that out. I was sitting with a guy the other day and I was talking with him about another gentleman in our church. And this other gentleman in our church, he doesn't know Jesus yet. I mean, he's like right there. He's like right there, man. We've had conversations and this guy was asking me about him. And I said, well, how do you know this guy? And he was talking about how he's walking with him in this faith journey. And how he's answering questions and he's praying for him and all these things. And I thought, he gets it. This guy gets it, that it's not up to the pastors to just do this. It's not just up to the ministry leaders to do this. That like all of us have a ministry of reconciliation, that all of us get to partner with God. All of us get to help tell people, hey, God wants a relationship with you. That's what it means to be an ambassador. Second key to being an ambassador in the days of Paul is an ambassador was sent from a city or province to Rome to plead a case before the emperor. And in the same way, we get sent from God's kingdom to here to plead the case for humanity, to tell humanity there's a better way, to tell humanity that there is hope, that there is redemption, that there is reconciliation with God. We get to be those voices. So we're saved by the power of God, and it's Christ's love that gives us the ability to know Jesus and to have our own lives restored and redeemed and reconciled. But then we get the privilege of sharing with others the same message. Okay, Ernest, that all sounds great, but like, how does this relate to this message on politics? I mean, how does us having Christ's love compel us? How does us knowing that we are called to the message of reconciliation, this ministry, that all the time we're looking for ways to tell people, yo, God loves you. Hey, amen. He wants a right relationship with you. Hey, man, there is hope. How does this relate to politics? Well, if you're compelled by Christ and you realize that you have this ministry of reconciliation, then it leads us to this point, this truth really starts here. Okay, get this. This truth is this. What happens in your house is more important than what happens in the White House. I'm just let that sit there for a moment. What happens in your house is more important. If we're compelled by the love of Christ, if we see ourselves as ambassadors, that we have this ministry of reconciliation, that what happens in my house is more important than what happens in the White House. The ministry of reconciliation begins in my home. And I'm pretty sure that no matter who wins the election in a few weeks, whether one side wins or the other side wins or Kanye wins, like no matter who wins, it's not going to change how I impact my family, how I get the opportunity to impact my own soul, how I get the opportunity to impact my neighbors. And I, for me, just to be real honest, man, I can get so focused on political things. And I love studying politics. I love diving into platforms and all of that. I love all of that. But I can get so focused on those things and who's going to win and if that person wins, how that changes my life and all these things that I can lose sight on where real ministry of reconciliation begins. I was reminded of this the other day. I sat down to watch the debate. Anybody want to admit that they watched that thing? So I was sitting down. We were about to watch it. It was about to come on and my son comes up to me, Wyatt, and he says, hey, Dad, will you help me build this robot thing? I thought, oh, Wyatt, man, I can't right now. I've been waiting all day to watch this debate, buddy. Let's do it tomorrow. And like Wyatt does so many times, man, he gives me grace. And so he just walked away and did his own thing. And so I sat down. I thought, man, it's going to be a nice, calm night. It's going to be a nice debate, all of that. Well, you know, it was interesting. And then about halfway through the debate, my daughter comes in and she says, hey, Dad, can I show you what I just made? And I felt like in that moment, it was like God giving me a second chance. Like the first time, my son comes in and I don't pick up on it. But then the second time my daughter comes in, God's like, yo, are you going to actually care more about what happens in your house or more about what happens in the White House? So I stopped, I paid attention to her, I celebrated her and her creativity and all of that. And then I went back to the debate. And it just made me think. I just began thinking, man, my kids care more about how I treat them than how this election turns out. Like my wife, even though she's like following along with me, that she cares more about how I choose to love her and serve her and care for our family than what happens over the next 4 years with our country. But what if I'm so focused on what happens in that house that I miss out on what happens in this house? That this is where the ministry of reconciliation begins. That I can be so focused on the ministry of reconciliation happening in Washington that I forget about the reconciliation that needs to happen with Wyatt and Waverly. That I shouldn't be so concerned about the other guy on Facebook and instead I should be more concerned about my neighbor. And like, I shouldn't be so focused on politicians that I'll never meet and I lose sight on the leaders that God has placed in my life today and how can I be praying for them and caring for them and serving them and encouraging them. It's so easy for someone like myself that loves politics, that loves to read about these things and learn more and all of that. It's so easy for me to get so bogged down. And I'm worried more about what's happening in Portland and less about what's happening on the other side of the promenade in the meadows where I live. I get so focused on other places and what's happening in other cities, and God's saying, but Ernest, I didn't put you in those other cities. Ernest, I didn't make you a politician for right now. Ernest, this is where you are. This is where I've placed you. And if you're going to follow me, then I need you to die to yourself and pick up this ministry of reconciliation. I need the love of Christ to compel you to care enough about the people around you. The people who think differently or act differently, that those aren't the enemy. Those are the ones you're praying for. Those are the ones you're trying to serve. Those are the ones that you're trying to communicate. Hey, God loves you. And he's got this incredible opportunity for you to come into the kingdom. God wants a restored relationship with you. As people, followers of Jesus, we're called to start here. So may we start in our own home rather than being so overwhelmed, focused on what happens in somebody else's home. May we be consumed by the ministry of reconciliation that gets the start in this house and then goes out to my neighbors and my coworkers and my loved ones, that I'm not so focused on the White House. And again, man, I think it's important to be engaged. I think it's important to vote. I think it's important to get involved. One of the saddest things that I see is people that want to fight for all these things, but they actually don't get involved. Get involved, vote, all of that. But remember, as followers of Jesus, it is Christ's love that should compel us. And if his love compels us, it compels us to this ministry of reconciliation, not moments, but ministry of reconciliation, of calling the world back to a right relationship with God. And that starts in our own house, not in the White House. So may we be concerned there first. Two ways of how to do that. Let me give you two quick action steps. Number one, I'm going to ask you to pray. Starting now and throughout this series and throughout the election and all of that, I'm asking you to pray. What am I asking you to pray for? Number one, pray that people would be united, specifically the church. Pray that the church would be united, not just Front Range, but the Big C church, like the global church, that we would be united as one. We don't all have to believe in the same thing or agree with the same thing, but we do have to be one. So let's pray that we're one. Let's pray for our leaders. Whether we like them or not, God calls us to pray for those who are in positions of power. So let's pray for our leaders. I covet your prayers. I would love for your prayers as we try to lead our church and try to speak into hard subject matters, knowing that people are going to get upset and all this. I would covet your prayers as a leader, but also pray for our other leaders. So pray. And the second thing I would ask you to do is, will you join me and digging into God's word? So here's what we've done. If you go to frontrange.info, or if you just go to the Church Center app, we have an app for our church. The way that you find it, just type in Church Center into your app store, Church Center. And then once you're there, search for Front Range Christian Church. It'll pull up pretty easily. It's always number one. When I pull it up, it'll pull up for you. And then just boop, click on that and you're in. If you go to the app, there's a reading plan right there. So I'm asking you to join me on a reading plan. It's just a few days. Okay, it's not very long. It's like a week long. I think 5 days. Okay, join me on this reading plan, because here's what I believe. If you and I pray together, and if you and I search scripture together, then God will do mighty things in us. And he'll do mighty things through us. That what God wants to do in this series, in our hearts, that God will do. If we're praying, we humble ourselves before him, and as we seek his word, what does he have to say to you and I? If we do those two things, if we pray together, we pray for one another, we pray for unity, we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, and then we seek God's word together, that together we're unified in what word we're seeking and what he is saying, then I believe not only will we be transformed, but God will use this series to transform our community. That we will be ambassadors, compelled by the love of Christ to proclaim the message of reconciliation. to a lost and broken world. May this be us, Front Range. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you. God, I thank you for technology. Father, we didn't foresee 2 days ago that we'd be all online today, but I thank you for the opportunity to do it. And so, Father, I pray for us as we're sitting in our rooms right now, Father, in our living rooms, or maybe still sitting in bed for some of us, or maybe we're somewhere else, God, working out or whatever. God, I pray that you would just speak to us. Tell us what our next steps are. And God, every week, man, there's people who, if we're being real honest, we're far from you. We feel distant from you, God. And so, God, today you're saying, man, that ministry of reconciliation isn't just something I've called you to do. It's something I've called you to receive. At first, receive Christ's love for you. And if you've never done that, or maybe you did, but it's been a while, and you'd say, man, I felt very distant from God. And yes, I can see, man, it's been just doing things on my own power. My own sin has separated me from God. And you want that right relationship with him. Then I want to encourage you today to make a decision to follow Christ. If you want to make that decision, just text the word follow to the number on the screen. And man, we'll celebrate with you. We'll be so excited for that next step. But if you're saying, man, I need that right relationship with God, then just text that word follow on the screen. No matter where you are in your faith journey, no matter how many times you might have texted that number, do it today. Don't delay. And then for all of us, God, tell us what we're to do next. I pray, Father, that as over the next few weeks as we pray for oneness, as we pray for our leaders, as we pray for, God, your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven, God, I pray that our hearts would be softened. I pray that we would read your word, that we would join this reading plan. As we do, Father, as we see your word and as we communicate with your heart through prayer, God, that you would transform us. Help us to be the ambassadors you've called us to be, compelled by your love and a ministry of reconciliation. God, we love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.